Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hour number two for Overnight America. Okay, so a little bit late of a start time because of Cardinals baseball, but they're playing well. They need the wins. Get the wins. They're starting to climb back up the standings. Good for the Cardinals. So I want to get to DACA because yesterday we spent a long time on the Stockley case, but today I wanted to try to catch up on what we missed not only yesterday but from today. A lot of developments there, and if you at any point want to jump in, you can. I mean, literally, 314-436-7900. I mean, I literally want you to jump. I want to hear you lift off of your feet, and depending on how old you are, you might even give a, ugh, like, you know, kind of like that's the noise. I'm 34. I'm starting to make that noise when I get up from a seat. I go, ugh. I make that noise now. It's terrible. If I get up from the couch, ugh. It's only getting worse from here. So literally, if you're going to make that noise, call in. That's fine. 800-925-1120. I 100% agree or understand where you're coming from. So President Trump put out the tweet, Congress now has 6 months to legalize DACA, something the Obama administration was unable to do. If they can't, I will revisit this issue. So Senator Blunt here in Missouri has already put out a reaction, a comment to this. He has said that the Deferred Action on Childhood Arrivals, that's what DACA stands for, put out this advisory. Okay, the Republican senator believes the way the program was created through executive order left the DACA recipients in legal limbo, saying, quote, Congress now has the responsibility to work towards a legislative solution. At the same time, it is imperative that we continue working with the president to strengthen our border security. Enhancing our border security will help facilitate progress towards addressing all aspects of our broken immigration system. We do have a broken immigration system. We have a large leak of things coming across our southern border that shouldn't be coming across. We have weapons that are being funneled across. We have drugs that are being funneled across. We have people that are being funneled across and used as part of a sex slave. We have people that are being sexually abused and hurt and killed, people that are being trying to be escorted here by these coyotes that are trying to get across the border. It's terrible, all right? And now we have people in here that aren't here legally, but were given this status through DACA. We're given some sort of, okay, we understand it wasn't your fault that you came here, right? It was your parents that brought you over, something that you had no idea what was going on. So at no fault of your own, you're in this position, and it's a really tough position to be in. Anything legal-wise, like our courts, they were not prepared to find a solution for this. President Trump realizes that, I think. President Obama at the time said, okay, we can't kick you out. We're going to put in place this DACA. Okay, it wasn't a amnesty program. It wasn't a road to amnesty. All it was a patch that allowed some backdoor ways for other things to happen. Just like trying to sign up and just like trying at some point to sneak in your own backdoor legislation, this Trojan horse style thing, the intention was nice, but the motivations, it wasn't a singular motivation. There was multiple motivations for him to do this. We need to fix this on a legal standpoint. We need to have solid legal ground if how we're going to handle this situation. And this is what it's going to lead to. I really think that's what this is going to have to lead to. And we've had some developments over the past 24 hours. In fact, earlier today, President Trump met with Democrats to talk about the debt ceiling. Now, how does that play into DACA? Well, a lot of Republicans are saying that this is bad for the Republicans. Why? Because, let me read this quote from an article I was reading. Republican close to leadership. Democrats bluff their way into a total victory. They win the politics of DACA and leverage on debt in the winter. Republicans wanted to get something more long-term, and they wanted to use this as a way to try to fix this legislatively. But if there's no incentive to fix this, and we're just going to keep kicking it, why even bring up Why even bring up in 6 months we would try to stop DACA if really we're not committed to try to stop it? And we're not committed to try to fix it. And this whole debt ceiling thing's crazy, too. Whenever you have Chuck Schumer coming out and praising what the president was doing, you scratch your head and say, what just happened? What just happened? Let me get to John real quick before I continue with this story here. John's calling in from St. Louis. What's going on?
Yeah, you know, on the DACA deal, you had, you know, let's go back to the root cause. Obama said that we needed to have immigration reform because the last time we did was, what, under Reagan?
Too long ago.
We need to have immigration reform. So he has a Republican Congress. He said, this is what we need to do. What do they do? Well, hey, we ain't going to do nothing you want. Okay, fine. I signed an executive order with DACA to get something done. All right, because it's like herding cats.
And I don't think anything technically has been done otherwise, say, in 6 months. 6 months, this could go away. So technically speaking, nothing's been done other than put a time on the clock.
Well, no, hear me out, all right? So Obama writes his executive order. All right, fine. So then that's a good political move for him in a way. All right, so then you get Trump in. All right, Trump says, hey, you know, something has to be done on immigration reform. I've been talking about it. So what does he do? All right. He goes to Congress. He, you know, drops a couple, you know, little things here and there. You know, see what they're going to do. And Trump finds the same thing. It's like herding cats. Congress is a bunch of cats. You can't hurt them.
Yeah.
So what do you do? All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead and do the DACA thing. I mean, I have to commend him for what he's doing. He's trying to force the herd of cats that is our Congress to do something.
Yeah.
They're a bunch of do nothings. They're good at making their little political statements, but they're poor at legislating. So, you know, kudos for Trump on this, but Trump just found out the same thing Obama found out.
Yeah.
Congress is a bunch of friggin' cats.
Just trying to herd the cats. Yeah, and there's so many loose ties that we need to tie up. I mean, there's so many loose ties that we need to fix.
Yeah, but what's another word for cats? It starts with a P, and that's what Congress really is. It's full of. So, you know, so need I say more?
Don't need. Thank you, John. Good to hear from you.
All right.
Yeah, no, it's Congress. They have some major issues. Major issues. Okay, so there's more to what could happen with the debt ceiling and DACA, all right? You can't really tie the two together, but you have to be able to look at the two together and be able to analyze how both of them could play off of each other and what this means for DACA. I have some comments from the president, comments from Chuck Schumer. Mitch McConnell got to talk about the debt ceiling as well. It's so weird the president stepping in and trying to take lead on this budget. Because, there's Paul Ryan. He was sitting on the room, too. It's so weird for the president to take lead here and bring both sides into the same room. Congress, they had to have gone in there and felt pretty shamed by doing that. They had to have felt shamed. All right, we'll take more of your calls and your thoughts on this coming up next. 314-436-7900, 800-925-1120. And there's one thing that really drives me crazy about what the president did here. I want to tell you that, too, next on KMOX. All right, so this is something that the president has done that It doesn't really anger me. It just gets me frustrated because of the golden opportunity Republicans could have right here. Okay, I get it. We got the Supreme Court nomination in. I get it. We're going to be able to get some more federal court judges in places. The long-term effect of President Trump winning this election is still positive. But as a Republican, and I look at the party as a whole with the golden opportunity in screwing this up, is the moral of this story with President Trump saying, okay, we don't like the way DACA sits with our current court system. We don't think it's enforceable. In fact, it's probably unconstitutional the way it was in. All of these things. Are we going to allow ourselves to say, okay, as Republicans, this is me thinking, are we going to allow ourselves to say to the Democrats, hey, guess what? Just keep crying. We're just going to fold into whatever you want eventually. Go ahead. Keep sandbagging in Congress. It doesn't matter if you get anything done. I know this is your strategy. Sandbag in Congress long enough to see if you can get back some of the House or some of the Senate in 2018. Just keep sandbagging. It doesn't matter if you like or not. Just play the politics. Don't play the American people. That's what you're doing. When you're playing politics, you're playing the American people. So the Democrats are like, you know what? I'd rather try to keep power rather than try to make progress because it might make the Republicans look good. So essentially, it's the crying kid and you're the parent. What do you do? Okay. Do you try to stand firm to the crying kid or do you give in to every demand they have in order to stop them from crying? And I feel like President Trump is at the point to try to give in to the demands of the crying child Democrats. And that's all they're doing. Because, you know, at some point you get embarrassed and you're like, fine, whatever. Eat chocolate cake for breakfast. You win. You wore me down. That's what I feel is happening here. And it's frustrating to me because I thought President Trump would be stronger than that and would be able to handle situations like this. But it's a lot harder when the Republicans that, by the way, you helped get into office, all the ones that were reelected, they rode the Trump train. Let's not forget that. They have all jumped ship because they're afraid that we can't handle these hard decisions like DACA anymore. It's very frustrating. I know what it's like with my kid when he starts crying. You know, we figured out how to get our kid to listen to us as parents, all right? We figured that out. But if all we said was, well, we're just going to do whatever he wants in order to get him to stop crying, that makes us bad parents. I know it would make us bad parents, but it wouldn't get what we want out of it. We would be saying the kid's the boss, the parents aren't. It's reversing the roles in a negative way and have negative impacts, all right? So if there's no consequences, if there's nothing that can happen, the Democrats are going to get their way anyway because they're going to just keep crying. What's accomplished anyway? Is there anything that's accomplished? Everything that the American people voted for when they put President Trump into office, the things that they want, will any of that get accomplished if this is what we're going to be setting the precedent? It just makes me so frustrated because I think there's so many better ways to handle this right now. I want to get some more of your calls in. Oh, Chip's calling in. Chip, what's going on? You're in Florida right now, Delray Beach?
Sir Ryan.
How are you?
You know what amazes me is, you know, Trump is a master when it comes to, okay, here's the problem. The Republicans never wanted power.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing. You know as well, an executive order is not law.
Mm-hmm.
And once you get the people on the American tit, pardon my French,
mm-hmm.
Now, all of a sudden, oh, we're going to file lawsuits. We're going to do this and that. So Trump said, okay, here you go. I love you, all you people. You go ahead and settle this difference. That is a smart president. A smart president says this was an illegal act.
Uh-huh.
And you know that, Ryan.
Yeah.
It was an illegal act. Now, we have all these crybabies out there. And they sit there and say, oh, the children. Okay, now, Trump took it to Congress. Now, isn't that smart? Take it to Congress. You vote on it. It's your baby.
Mm-hmm.
Why do we have to sit here and listen to John McCain, Senator Lindsey Graham, all these people? Okay, it's all yours now. Now, the voters have the right, after they make the decision to vote on this, to make it law,
mm-hmm.
not an executive order, Ryan, that they, here you go. Now, I love when Trump goes out and says, Claire McCaskill, if you don't vote on my tech, vote her out.
Yeah.
Now, what's wrong with that? I'm not a Republican, Ryan. I'm a conservative.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm more liberal than you are, Ryan.
Okay.
The fact of the matter is, throw this back to Congress where it's supposed to be.
Yeah, let's
now,
do this right.
Here's
yeah.
the problem. Here's the problem. Oh, my God, all these children. All right, now, settle it. Congress settles law, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know that. And then all of a sudden, the Republicans are crying, oh, my God. Well, we're going to have to make a decision. They don't want to be in power.
Yeah. No, it bothers. It's kind of like at this point we had duct tape on the rear axle holding the back end of the car together. And it's like the president said, we're taking this into the shop and everyone freaking out. We're not going to take it into the shop. The duct tape's fine. That's stupid. No one would do that with their car. I mean, that's what it's like to me.
Well, I appreciate you, Ryan. And the most important thing is you allow individual thought.
Yeah.
And the problem today is, oh, if I don't agree with you, I'm going to shut you down.
Well, I think that you should be able to trust yourself. Whatever you actually believe as an individual, you should be able to trust yourself to defend
you
your thoughts
careful,
by talking.
Ryan, not today. Not today, Ryan. You gotta keep your mouth shut. If not, you're going to be attacked. Be of good cheer.
All right.
Thank
hey, you. Wait, are you in Delray Beach? Are you evacuating Florida?
I am now in beautiful Marietta, Georgia with my sister.
Okay, so you're safe now.
Before I go, Ryan, can I help people when it comes to hurricanes?
Yes, please.
Ryan, I'm an idiot. When I hear her, H-U-R, I leave.
Her? Like in the accent
hurricane.
In Georgia? Oh, hurricane.
Now, a moron sits there and says, "We're going to buckle down. I've got my generator, you know, Marge.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to take care of it." You know, then all of a sudden it blowed down. Everything blowed down there, Ryan.
Don't.
And then,
you're not
you know,
gonna
I
fight.
Lost everything.
Yeah.
I lost my dog. I lost my cat.
Yeah. You were you're smart to go up. I'm glad you're safe, Chip. Good to hear from you.
Take care.
Okay. Bye. All right. He's a little worked up. I guess when you have to leave your home and you're waiting to see what happens with the weather, you're not going to go out there and you can't box or you can't fight a hurricane, all right? You're not going to go out there and cause any counter to the hurricane's damage. So you save yourself, you save your family. That's very, very important. And your dog. Take your dog with you. Let's go to Rich calling in from South Bend. What's going on, Rich?
Welcome to Trump World, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Where Donald Trump is only loyal to himself. I mean, let's take a look at yesterday. Makes a deal with Pelosi and Schumer.
Mm-hmm.
And then last night, you must have missed it because you didn't mention it. Trump was in North Dakota. Guess who he invited to be with him on stage?
Who is that?
The Democratic senator from North Dakota. And he heaped so much praise on her, I have a cavity in my mouth.
Praised her for what? What in particular? I didn't see that
she
rally.
That we love her. She's doing a great job. I mean, he just wrote last night her ads for her reelection.
Is that right? Well, I didn't see that. I'm going to have to go back and look. I have some audio I was going to play here from Schumer and McConnell regarding the meeting they had. But the president in this case, I don't know if it's a loyalty thing. I just don't know. It's questionable, his strategy, and it makes me wonder why he's doing this.
He has no convictions. What he wants is to sign something and say, "I won." So far, he can't stand McConnell. He can't stand Ryan. Him and Schumer are New York guys, and they made a deal.
I don't know. What do you think of Chuck Schumer just beside this by himself? What do you think of Chuck Schumer?
He's a good leader in the Senate.
Mm-hmm.
You may not think so, but hey, that's politics.
No, there's a couple of, you know, I am definitely very right leaning. I'm a conservative. You know, I vote Republican. I voted for President Trump for office. And, I'll tell you a little secret, Rich. I do believe Democrats are better mayors. I normally vote Democrats in as mayor, just on a side note. You may be surprised to learn that. But I will tell you this. There's a couple of Republicans and a couple of Democrats that I really admire. And on the Democrat side, I do like Senator Al Franken and I do like Chuck Schumer. And it's weird for me to admit that out loud because I think the way he handles things, at least is a classy way. He doesn't normally take really cheap shots. And I admire that at least. And I can disagree with him and I always disagree with him, but I at least can look at him from that standpoint and not get sick.
but I'm warning you, with y'all set to hear him praising the senator from North Dakota, have your toothbrush standing by with toothpaste on it.
All right, Rich. Good to hear from you. Thanks.
All right, bye.
Rich listens every night, and I can tell you that there's not a lot we agree on. There's only once, I think, in the past 6 months he called in and said, "Mark the tape. You're not going to believe it. Craziness is happening. Mass hysteria. I agree with you. So that rarely happens. So I want to play the meeting between Schumer and I think Pelosi was there, but Paul Ryan was there. Vice President Pence was there. Of course, Donald Trump was there, and they were sitting in the Oval Office across from each other trying to hammer this thing out. Now, I can look at this and say, we need to do something because we have to have emergency funding for what's going on in the South. We have to be able to make sure the government continues to work. We need to make sure this is done because, hey, we know that you're not going to get anything done unless I step in. So if you want to look at that as a positive spin of things, that could be the positive spin. But I told you my reservations, us allowing, I say us and Republicans allowing the like I am one of them, like I am in Congress with them. I have any legislative vote, but Republicans just basically bending over any time there's a the Democrats cry foul. It's getting old. Us rolling on our back and going into a submissive pose. It's getting old. This is Overnight America, Game Away. All right, so this just keeps getting more frustrating. We're talking about DACA. We're talking about the debt ceiling. We're talking about President Trump stepping in, getting in between Paul Ryan and Nancy Pelosi, getting in between Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell. And, oh, man, it's to me, the Republicans, they have the House, they have the Senate, they have the White House. They are the big dog. But for some reason, they keep rolling over and playing the submissive role. And we could be getting things done. Instead, we're not. We had our opportunity, and the death blow was when John McCain, former Republican presidential candidate, walks up and gives the thumbs down to the skinny repeal of Obamacare. That was the death blow. The Democrats knew they can get whatever they want just by crying and crying and crying, and it just drives me to no end. So this is what happened. There is a meeting at the White House between Republican and Democrat leaders. Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer announced the news in a joint statement after the meeting. Trump later gave the details out. I guess he was frustrated, couldn't tweet it before Chuck Schumer got it out. So here's part of the statement.
Earlier today, we had a very productive meeting with President Trump, Leader McConnell, Speaker Ryan. In that meeting, we agreed to pass aid for Harvey, a continuing resolution, and an increase in the debt ceiling, both of those until December 15th. This is a really positive step forward.
I know. If we've gotten to the point where Democrats have never been more vile to the person in office. I've never seen people show so much hatred to the president of the United States than Democrats to President Trump, period. It makes the things that Republicans said to President Obama look like amateur hour compared to what the Democrats are saying. Democrats hate the president, okay? Now the president is trying to make Republicans hate him too. What do people say? They say if both sides hate you, you're doing your job. Does that mean President Trump's doing his job? I guess. Here's more Chuck Schumer.
It'll work to quickly provide aid to those hurt by Harvey. It'll avoid default, and it'll fund the government, avoiding a shutdown. And we all agreed we'd work together in December as well to avoid a default. So it was a really good moment of some bipartisanship.
So it's hard to tell. What game? Is there a game that's being played here? Is there a long game? What's the positive to this? I mean, can Republicans at all at this point say they've had any accomplishments now that they've had leadership in other than the Supreme Court? I mean, it has been disappointing. I know the president has come in and he's done a lot of good things. I don't think he gets enough credit for the good things that he's done so far. Just look at the economy as a whole and tell me that he's had no impact. And he's done some other things. And 314-436-7900 or 800-925-1120. So that's what you heard here. Mitch McConnell, also in the meeting, had a statement.
We have had many discussions about how to go forward. We have this emergency created by Harvey and Irma, which must be addressed this week. We have the debt ceiling expiring because there's more borrowing the Secretary of the Treasury needs to do than the current debt ceiling allows him. If this isn't the definition of an emergency, I don't know what is.
Okay. I don't know what is. Mitch McConnell, everybody, Mitch McConnell. So he's getting in on this too. So he was there. Him and Chuck Schumer had their famous standoff in Congress when it came to voting for the repeal, the skinny repeal of Obamacare. And, you know, it was a sad, sad night when we were sitting here. Guns N' Roses was down the road playing Sweet Child of Mine, and Congress was refusing, Republicans were refusing to put the skinny repeal. That could have been a big win. That could have been a big moment, and it could have been the snowball effect that could have led Republicans to getting their way. But instead, they can't. Instead, they can't. Now, if you were able to look at this as a whole and say, well, now this is going to put the Republicans in the disadvantage to negotiate for DACA, it will. It'll put the Republicans in a way in the disadvantage to try to get tax reform, which is the next thing they move on. And you might as well kiss the repeal and replace goodbye. Just wait for Obamacare to fail and implode. That seems to be the only thing that could be the next scenario. There's a lot of problems, lots of problems. It shouldn't take the Republicans to roll on their back and play the submissive role in order to get money to these areas that need it in Texas, Louisiana, Florida here soon. It shouldn't take the Republicans to give up on everything they stand for in order to do something that everyone should agree on, which is help those areas. It shouldn't take this. I just feel dirty. It's just every day I think that we may be taking a few steps forward as a country, but instead we're rolling over and giving up, and it's sad. And it's exactly what the Democrats, they're just playing their hand better. They're playing their cards a lot better than the Republicans right now. It's sad. It's just sad. It's Overnight America, KMOX. All right, one last time for Overnight America here. Just rolling right through the overnight. And Cardinals, they have another late start tomorrow, but not as late. So we'll get another hour together tomorrow night. And being that it is Wednesday, boy, we're getting close to the end of the week. Oh, like this week's been going by so fast, unbelievably fast. All right, so let's go to Harry real quick before we continue. I got some more clips I want to play, but I wanted to bring Harry up from Alton. What's going on? Oh, hold on. Sorry, hold on. Harry, are you there?
Yeah.
I tell you what,
I want to compliment Trump. I think he acted like a principal on a schoolyard and grabbed two kids that were bickering and took them into his office and held them there until they decided to make up.
Mm-hmm.
And I also noticed that he's changed his mind on FEMA, because the whole time he was running, he thought FEMA was terrible. And if they hadn't passed this, FEMA would have run out of money in 6 days.
Yeah, the amount of money needed between these two, it's just unbelievable, the devastation down in Texas.
And the Republicans said, well, let's take $750 million away from FEMA and build the wall with it. Hello, Republicans.
I think the wall funding, a lot of it had to go through the Defense Department, though. That's where a lot of the funding would have came from.
Well, right. $750 million of it would have came from FEMA.
Yeah. Well, even FEMA, there has been a lot of misuse of that money. I understand why they would feel that way. But you think that President Trump, you actually would praise him for this move to sit down and do this sort of thing?
Yes, sir. I really do.
All right. So now you understand that nothing's actually happened. This is a tentative deal. They still have to vote in Congress.
Oh, it'll go through because...
they have to. Because it has to.
Yeah, and the fact is, I got so aggravated when they were talking about doing away with Obamacare, and both the head of the Republicans in the House and the Senate said, well, we can't compromise with the Democrats. We just have to let it go to hell.
Right, they'll have to let it die. They'll have to let it implode on itself.
I think Trump could stand in there and really accomplish something.
Okay, well, it's interesting to hear you give some praise to the president. You know, I feel there's, I'll tell you, Harry, I thought that way, and I thought, okay, this is just me trying to spin it into a positive way. I didn't know if that's how I really felt about it. And it's still not how I really feel about it. I feel like it's interesting that you're trying to spin this in a positive.
Well, I actually believe it was.
Yeah. Well, good to hear from you, Harry. Thanks.
Uh-huh.
That's what I was afraid of doing. You know, that was one of the first thoughts. I said, okay, they're sitting down. This is my train of thought when I was looking and listening to what was happening here. My first train of thought was, how about that? The president has been trying to get Congress to pass something. They couldn't get it done for himself, so he has to step in. Wow, look at that. Finally bringing the two sides together. That was the first thought I had. Then I thought a little bit deeper, and I thought, okay, why is he really doing this? Is it trying to get the two sides together? Is it really for the funding of FEMA to get money to these hurricane areas? I mean, let's face it, Congress could do that on their own. There's no reason the president would have to lobby to get money to these victims. It's not something that the president is alone on. Everyone should be putting some money down there, okay? Now, the president steps in, and we realize that there may be some strings attached in order to get funding. So were the Democrats, were Nancy Pelosi, were Chuck Schumer, was it in their best interest to go and meet with the president and say, okay, we won't sandbag for this money to FEMA if you give us something? And the president, instead of saying, there's no way you'll go on record for not funding this, instead of him saying that, he said, okay, this is what I think happened behind these closed doors. He said, okay, I'll give you some things that you want as long as we get money for FEMA, or as long as we get money for these hurricanes, or as long as we get the debt ceiling moved on so we can continue on with the government. So there should be a lot of concern that, hey, we're playing politics again with things like hurricane funding. It's a tentative deal. We'll see what Congress pushes through. I'll be curious to read the legislation myself and see what else was in there, because once we actually read, after they put this down into writing, we'll know exactly what the president allowed the Democrats to do. We'll see exactly if they really bluffed their way in and they got and played their hand better than anyone else could. We'll see. A couple other clips I wanted to play. I thought this was pretty good on DACA. I don't think this DACA situation is completely gone. I feel like they're going to have to come to some sort of conclusion. I feel like this is what they use. When I watch MSNBC or CNN, they use the term legal shaking grounds or something like that. What do they say? They basically say it's on shaky grounds. They don't say it was unconstitutional. They don't say it was illegal. All they say it was on shaky legal grounds. And that's their code word to be sensitive, because they don't want to offend President Obama and all of his genius legislation he tried to push through as president. Forget about the branches of government. Look at the things he tried to legislate on his own. But this is one of them. And Senator Tom Cotton gets it. Here.
He's trying to deal with the situation in the most orderly way possible. He can't defend that order in court, but he wants Congress to take action. And I've talked to him, and I've said that I'm happy to help try to forge some kind of compromise. It's going to open up a whole new category of people who could get legal status, namely their parents who violated the law by bringing them here. And it's going to encourage other people to bring their children across the border in the future. My legislation, the RAISE Act, would stop unlimited family chain migration, okay, addressing the first problem, and then enhanced enforcement measures would address the second problem.
Okay, this is good. We need a plan. Tom Cotton, I think, puts together some pretty fine plans. I like him. And he's right. What is this going to do? Is it the chain migration? As in, if we were to say to all these DACA recipients in the past, if we were to grant you legalized amnesty or anything like that, if we were going to make you citizens of the United States, would it have the chain effect, as in, hey, now you're in, everyone else you know gets a free pass? Okay, that could be part of the problem one. So we need to at least put some safeguards. If we're going to look at the best interest of the people that are already here, we need to put some safeguards. And never did I think President Obama wouldn't be able to put some sort of amnesty plan together, but somehow the Democrats are weaseling the Republicans to put an amnesty plan together. Isn't this crazy? I mean, this is an absolute crazy way of thinking about it, but never would I ever imagine that would have happened that way. You know, President Obama, if anyone, you would think President Obama would do it, but now we're finding our way where the Republicans and President Trump will. I just don't get it. Crazy times, man, that we live in. Crazy times. All right. It's, I tell you, the days, they keep on slipping into the future. So we're on Sunday through Thursday. Our last show of the week will be coming up later tonight. And then you get a little bonus me. So if you like listening to the show, you are going to love what I'm going to do on Friday, which is we're going to be helping Camo X, along with our partners, the Teamsters Joint Council 13, the American Red Cross, Schnucks Market, and the St. Louis Cardinals, and the St. Louis Blues, all getting together, and we're going to be helping those affected by the hurricane in Houston. We got to take these one at a time. Houston needs our immediate attention, just like Florida will here soon. But If you want to drop off donations for the American Red Cross, do it. We're going to be the Schnucks location on Friday, Butler Hill Road, from 6 a.m. to 7 p.m. I'm going to actually be out there during Rush Limbaugh's program. So you can stop by and say hi. You can stop by and, more importantly, give your donation. Financial donations are great. If you actually have something monetary, awesome, do it. But if you have a cleaning supply, diapers, things like that, send it over too. They can all help. Go to camox.com/Houston for a full list of things. And from there, you'll be able to see what we need. And I hope to see you on Friday. Until next time, I'll be back again after Cardinals baseball. KMOX. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app. Oh,